Welcome to a Belgian rail company quickly deploy a hosted project server solution with on-premise application integration. That's a long title. Anyhow, let me start off by introducing my associate here, who is Joel Lachance. He is a co-founder and VP of development with BMO Corp. And my name is James Bulmer, and I am the technical sales and partner manager for BMO. And we're an exhibitor. We're allowed to say that. And basically, what we want to do is we want to talk about the experience from an organization, happens to be part of the Belgian rail company, who were interested in using hosted project server. This presentation is based on a white paper that was co-authored between the Belgian rail company and ourselves. And unfortunately, due to economics, the client could not make the trip from Belgium over to Anaheim, California for a 45-minute presentation. He just couldn't sell the ROI that would accrue to them. So he apologizes for not being here. But you're going to find out that he did contribute to the paper and the presentation. So basically, what we're going to do is very briefly talk about Tuck Rail, okay? And then we're going to give you some context that they found themselves in, and then there's going to be some discussion on design criteria, the solution that they implemented, some initial results, and then for those of you who are thinking of going to Project Server, how you go from, okay, this limited subset proof of concept is working to, okay, now how are we going to do this in production, right? And so we'll talk about that. And then we will talk about some benefits. And I will say it again, and I will stress it later. The benefits that we're going to talk about and the benefits that are in the white paper were developed by Tuck Rail, right? And so it's their benefits that they came up with for this particular approach. And then we'll talk about some conclusions. Now, one of the things that we want to be sure is that this is interactive. We've got a small group, so you only have to each come up with one question, so you can start thinking about your questions. The other thing is if you don't ask questions, I'll ask you questions. So we'll get questions. Okay, Tuck Rail. Tuck Rail, it was established in 1992, and it's a subsidiary of the Belgian National Rail Company. And basically, they provide engineering and PMO services. So they're a subsidiary that was set up to provide engineering and PMO services to the Belgian National Rail Company. If you have had the pleasure of being in Europe and traveling by rail, let me tell you, it ain't nothing like over here in the good old US of A, right? And the other thing that's interesting, and the gentleman who said he was a train enthusiast, you can come to the BMO booth and we will give you a copy of this presentation. All of the pictures in this presentation were provided to us by Tuck Rail. So they're real rail pictures provided to us by Tuck Rail for the Belgian rail system. The Tuck Rail is a 1,000-plus people organization. It is growing in Belgium and abroad, and they are working on large, complex projects to extend and modernize the Belgian rail system, type of thing. So this is sort of the context of who Tuck Rail is. Very briefly, who is BMO? BMO, we are a Microsoft Gold certified partner. We specialize in hosted PPM and UCC, Unified Communication and Collaboration. We offer organizations SharePoint, Project Server, Office 365, Exchange, Link with Enterprise Voice. We have clients that have one license, one user, to very large installations with Fortune 500 companies, including Talk Rail. We provide hosting services from 17 data centers located on five continents. Okay, what I want to do is to get a sense from you as to where you are in terms of Project Server. So the question, first question is, how many of you in the room are currently utilizing Project Server? Oh, good, good. So the rest of you are considering Project Server. Or as this gentleman here is, he's using, did you say 2007? And then you're thinking about making the leap to 2013 and bypassing 2010. Okay, no, a lot of organizations are doing that. Last question. How many of you, when you were or are thinking of Project Server, actually looked at what it would, the benefits would be of hosting, the cost and the benefits? Oh, good. Okay. So for those of you who said yes to the last question, if you want to, as we go through, share your experience in terms of hosting, please make this as interactive as possible. Oh, we're talking about, yeah, hosting it with another organization, like ourselves or one of our competitors. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the thing about, forget about just, everybody back up a second in terms of hosting. The amount of services that an organization can buy today that are hosted is enormous. I mean, Project Server is a small tip of the iceberg, right? And so in terms of security and data and all of that, there are certifications and there's security assessments and all of that that are constantly going on for organizations who are providing hosting services. Now, to be perfectly frank, I don't think the CIA or NASA is ever going to host, right? I just don't think that's going to happen. But given that there is, I mean, there's a lot of medical organizations that are hosting their data, so therefore they're confident in terms of patient records and that type of thing. So, but it is a concern, and we will actually address, because it turned out that was one of the concerns of Talk Rail. Uh-huh. Okay. So basically, let me give you a little bit of the context. First of all, they had a very limited knowledge of the configuring of the EPM system. Okay, they had an uncertain scope. They didn't know exactly what their implementation of Project Server would look like. They had very decentralized decision-making. And it was a multilingual organization. For those of you who are aware, Belgium actually has two official languages, right? And so everything has to be in two official languages. And neither of them are English. I'm not going to read them, but the presentation is got all kinds of quotes from Olivier, who was the IT infrastructure leader at Talk Rail. And I would suggest that you get the paper or come and get the presentation and you can read his comments. But all of the comments that are attributed to Olivier were approved by him. He, Tuck Rail, to be perfectly honest, Tuck Rail, for those of you just to be sure, Tuck Rail were the second final approver of this presentation, right? So everything in this presentation has been approved by Tuck Rail. So basically, in terms of the design criteria, what they wanted to do was go from the desktop to EPM. They needed on-premise integration. They already had systems on site that had to be integrated with Project Server. And they wanted a development, a test, and a training environment. They wanted three environments. They also required that the solution adhere to the internal IT policies, specifically as it related to backup and disaster recovery. They also wanted no upfront cost, no capital investment, and pay as you go. Now, one of the things that you're going to find that reoccurs throughout this is that last comment about pay as you go, and that's got some interesting consequences, but it was a major factor in their decision making. And they wanted a flexibility and expertise in hosting. So they decided that what they needed to do was find somebody that was flexible and an expert in hosting, and we were lucky enough that they chose us. The solution that we came up with for them was a development and a test environment, Active Directory integration, customized reporting, a virtual private network. In the virtual private network, in addition to supporting Active Directory, was required because the Project Server data had to be shipped back to Tuck Rail so that it could be used in in-house systems. So for those of you who are familiar with Project Server, in a lot of cases, it's data coming in from outside solutions into Project Server. But in this case, they needed the data back in their organization for other reporting systems. And lastly, there was very stringent requirements regarding disaster recovery. And they, Tuck Rail, had to approve the backup and disaster recovery plans, okay, that they met the overall standards that were in place by Tuck Rail. This is the architecture of the solution. So, away over here, this is, let me go over here. There we go. Way over at the right-hand side, this is the customer infrastructure. This is on their premises. And then basically what you have is you had an all-in-one physical dedicated server, and this was the test live instance. And then you had a standalone virtual dedicated server for the development live instance. And basically then you had the disaster recovery system that was used in the system. Mm-hmm. Now, we could spend the next 25 minutes, but why don't I ask questions? On the left, here?
On the far right, you have the company's network.
Right.
Yes.
What are these three? Where are these three?
This is This isn't in the company on premises, so it's stock rail. Is that what you're talking about?
No, the stuff on this side. You got the internet.
Oh, everything there? Everything on the left?
Everything on the left.
It's hosted on the BMO network. So,
yeah,
so yeah. So the live instance were actually in Amsterdam.
So when you say private network, that's really a network within your organization?
Well, what's the private network do? It allows to exchange data securely between the on-premise installation, so what's at TuckRail, and what's on the in our data center. So that's,
Yeah. Now remember, they're located in Belgium, and right next door is the primary data center is in Amsterdam. Okay, so the rule is as long as it's in the EU.
Depends on customer, but this is what the customer wanted. Sorry, Jim. And
Yeah. Okay, so any other questions about the architecture?
We do you have different, when you have like RSA token, how do they VPN? In, let's say you have a development server and a production server. Do you have different tokens that you get into?
Well, default implementation for VPN use the IPsec protocol, so I'm not an expert about how that stuff works, but that's very typical. So there's appliance on the customer on-premise, and we have appliances too, and they talk to each other, do the handshake, and they trust each other. So at the end of the day, what it does, it feels like everything is in the same on-premise because they're all likely integrated and talk to each other securely. As far as this type of implementation? Let me see if I answer your question correctly here. Is this a typical installation? To a certain degree, there's a lot of typical component in there. What's different is, sometimes customer only have one live instance. In that case, we had two in this scenario here, and we'll see more later. And so we had to make each instance be able to talk to each other and also copy all the data or the different database so that the developer can work with a good set of data. And then when the developer were done, they could dump their updates into the test instance. So we had to enable that scenario. And another part of the implementation has to do with the disaster recovery and the monitoring system. So customer had specific expectation about how many backup you keep, how long, where's the data being saved for disaster recovery, all those kind of things. So that's more custom part. And of course, the VPN depends on, you know, each customer have different implementation for that, and we can accommodate those scenarios.
I noticed you have a user, outside of the firewall.
Yep. So the customer wanted to, it's a good observation, Gordon. Customer want to be able to have user that may not be on premise, they might be on the road in the field to access the system. So they could do that.
So they would go through the same VPN protocol.
Well, in that case, the VPN is one of the way to exchange data between two servers, okay? And what the other user do, they use a HTTPS. So the data is still encrypted, but through HTTPS protocol to your web browser, right? So there's still some encryption, but works through HTTPS, not through VPN.
As a general answer to this gentleman's question, there's most implementations of hosted project server. When they get this large, there are customized features, because in almost 99.9, you hate to say always, but I'm tempted, but almost always there is a requirement from the client that the hosted portion must be construed because the client is not prepared to change what they're doing for the hosting. So, you know, you could have another one that would be almost the same as this. And in a lot of cases, the reason that the architecture on the hosting side is different is because what the client is requiring, right? In this case, one of the requirements is that the data had to flow back to the client, right? So that had to be taken into account. So it's, you know, for a very small installation, it tends to be much more, they all look the same. Once you get beyond that, there's always something that's different enough.
What's the primary driver for Tuck wanting an external private cloud? Why didn't they just do it in-house itself?
Pay as you go, and they didn't want to set it up. And we'll show the economics analysis that they went through. Now, the other thing, remember, is this is for development and test. They wanted to understand what Project Server was all about. We're going to, in a moment, we're going to talk about when it came to the point of, okay, now we understand, what are we going to do about production? That was another tip. But they didn't want to set up a whole set of hardware and software and people to support something that, at any point in time, they could go, that's not the answer, right? So they were not convinced. They needed to be convinced that Project Server was the answer. And so that was one of the reasons that they started to look for organizations like the hosting organizations who would put this up for them on the understanding that, you know, one day you get an email.
Yeah, I think we should get into that, actually.
Yeah.
Good segue.
Yeah. So basically, we set up the initial results, and basically what we showed is that hosted gave them a quick turnaround time, okay? We had the development and test environment ready in 2 weeks versus their expectation that it was going to take months. The system had high performance and reliability. It met all of their design criteria, and there were tangible cost benefits to be found in a hosted solution. Okay, and so basically, the next thing that happened was that they determined that the development was validated and was successful. And then what they needed to do was the next big question, which was going to production. Well, it turned out that going to production in their case was very easy, because what they did was they just said, hey, we want to add a third instance. And so all we did was clone the test environment, and all of a sudden, they went from having a test development environment to having a production test and development environment. And they went through this process from the decision to they were in production in less than 2 weeks. Uh-huh. And that was one of the reasons that once they decided that they were going to stay with Project Server, then every organization that goes through that has to make the decision what they're going to do for production. And in Tuck Rail's case, they found that the decision was quite easy. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did they keep the backup recovery on test as well to test those pictures?
Yes. Yep. All we did is clone the test environment for them. Mm-hmm. We did not provide the training of the users, okay? Did you know that they did a lot of training, Joel?
Well, that's a great question. Actually, they were running on Project Professional, so using a desktop client for quite many years. So that part they had already had that in their culture. And being a PMO, they took care of the gap there. So, yeah.
Was there an integrator involved?
I'm sorry?
Was there an integrator involved?
No, that's their own. PMO was quite technically savvy with their engineering team. I mean, there was a software team in there as well. So.
Now, one of the things that, just so that you can appreciate the scale of this, when they went into production, they went into production with 200 PWA users. Okay, so it's, I don't know what you think is a 200 user instance of Project Server, whether it's, you know, large, small, medium, small, large, or whatever it is, but that's what they did. They went into production with 200 users. So, and as I say, they got the 200 users up in production in less than 2 weeks from they made the decision. So, any questions about this part?
Well, it's a good question. In their case, if we look at their requirement, they needed integration with on-premise and be able to transport the data from Project Server to their on-premise reporting system. So, as far as I know, with Project Online, it's not, there's not an effective way of doing that at the scale they wanted. So that's one piece of it. The other one we don't see there, but even in their test environment, and we mentioned that earlier, is that there are actually different organizations. So they needed separate environments, separate PWAs. So there are multiple PWAs in there for different groups. So there was more than one instance. And what they wanted to be able to do with their development team is to clone those different PWAs, do some development, push it to the test, and then clone other things, and then provide the training instance. And it eventually took whatever they had on the test server and then cloned that and all copy that to production. So that would be a difficult task to do with online version, actually.
In terms of the cost benefits, they identified that they wanted, first of all, no capital investment and no setup fees. Right? They were not prepared to pay any money up front. And as I mentioned before, and this keeps reoccurring in their description of the reason that they wanted to go hosting, it's because they wanted to go pay as you go. And basically what they wanted to be able to do was to increase or decrease the number of users. And therefore, if this month they don't need a bunch of users, they reduce the number of users, and therefore that affects their costs for the month. So they are very conscious of that fact. Now, based on, and we're going to go into some more details of costs and that, but based on the information that they developed, TuckRail have publicly stated here and in the white paper that they are saving approximately 10,000 euros per month. At today's exchange rate, that means that they're saving about $13,500 per month in terms of the solution that we're talking about.
Compared to doing it in-house.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the on-premise estimated cost for this gentleman and for the rest of you, they included all of the costs. So they started out with their IT and technical support, DR and backups, licenses, sales tax, server licenses, basic installation, all of the things that are shown here. And they figured that over 3 years, and these numbers are all in US dollars, that in 3 years they would have to spend approximately $1.1 million over 3 years. Okay. And basically, in terms of the on-premise versus hosted, they also determined that on-premise, they would be looking at a capital investment of around $400,000. And in terms of hosted, their capital investment was zero. And in terms of the ongoing monthly cost, and incidentally, you'll notice down at the bottom we've included, they had 10 development users, 50 test users, and 200 production users. And the total cost in-house, they felt, would be around $31,000 a month, and they'd have had to make a $400,000 investment to, and then the monthly cost. Whereas with a hosted solution, their capital investment was zero, and their monthly cost was $17,000. So that's where the difference comes in. That's where the difference comes in the way that they were able to save the money. Anybody have any questions about the way in which the economics were put together? Do these numbers, remember, you don't ask questions, I'll ask questions. Do these numbers seem realistic? For those of you who have done it in-house, do you think that an in-house installation for 200 users with a 50 test users and 10 development users, it's going to cost you about $400,000 to get started?
You're asking us to make that call within 2 minutes.
No, what I'm really wondering is the people who did it in-house did an analysis to figure out that it was going to cost them about how much in capital outlay type of thing. I'm not asking you to tell me the answer. I'm just saying, do you think that these figures seem to be realistic? If you've done an analysis for in-house costs, does it seem realistic that you'd have to spend approximately $400,000 in hardware licenses for 200 users?
The configuration training was out of that equation, actually. Yeah. Yeah.
Question that I kind of, or comment that I had was, okay, this is based upon the Tuck Railroad did all the server configuration and had the bandwidth or the knowledge internal to be able to set it up correctly. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I can see. Yeah, let's make an assumption for a moment, and let's assume that Tuck Rail didn't have that expertise.
Right.
Whatever they spent would increase both sides of the equation, right? So whether you configure a project server that's sitting in the next room, or in their case, whether you configure Project Server and you're in Belgium and it's in Amsterdam, the costs are the same. So if they'd have gone out and had to acquire consulting services and configuration, both sides of the equation would have gone up by the same amount. Because it doesn't cost any more for a consultant to configure a hosted solution than an in-house solution.
But BMO has the capability of doing that configuration.
We don't, actually.
We don't.
We leave that to our partners, and that's a very successful partner agreement that way, you know, enables win-win. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, the cap, the 31K per month times 36 months is 1.1 million. And part of that 1.1 million, there's 400K in capital investment. That's lumped in there. So,
But does everybody, just before we move on to this, does everybody understand what this gentleman's question was about the cost of configuration? That it doesn't matter whether you do it in-house or whether you do it with a hosting company. If you go out and hire the services of a consultant or your staff does it, it's going to cost the same amount of money or the same amount of time, regardless of where the servers and the software and all of that are, type of thing. Now, one of the things that also is in this, and that is you're going to find out, is the cost of support. Right? So, but this is the way the economics worked out in the case of Tuck Rail.
There is one piece out of your numbers that I think when you say it's completely equal, I would challenge you a little bit here, James, only because there is an installation cost associated with an on-premise. Even though it's a service, it would still have to be installed.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the hosted environment, the installation is already done by you guys.
Yeah.
The services configuration, totally agree, but the installation might be a saving.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, you want to go back to the previous slide, James? We're actually factoring the basic installation here. So what we purposely exclude from this discussion is all the configuration and training, rollout, all that thing that our consultant handle.
So, you know, this to me, this is what makes this an interesting case study. So, you know, any other questions about the economics and what was or wasn't involved? Okay. The one of the things that Tuck Rail have consistently said is that they wanted predictable costs, right? They wanted a hassle-free environment. They wanted a service level agreement. And I'm not sure, maybe some of you know, but most internal organizations will not give a formal service level agreement to departments in the company, right? Whereas hosting companies do.
I think that's not completely true.
No? Good. Good. Awesome. We wouldn't even ask that gentleman, but if you run and see on his badge, it'll tell you who he's talking about. Yes. It should be the case in all cases, whether you're doing it internally or whether you're doing it externally with a hosting company. But so there's two that do. Okay. The other one that they wanted and that they appreciate, and that is they have an automated service request system, okay? Basically, when the people who manage the project server in Tuck Rail have a question or an issue, they just fire off and go onto the system and fill out a service request. It gets responded to. They can always inquire where it is. If it needs escalation, it gets escalated, and they're informed of the escalation. And basically, it's all of that is taken care of. And so at any point in time, they are able to know among themselves in the PMO all of the outstanding service requests, because remember I said it was a dispersed, decentralized organization? Well, basically, they now can understand exactly what every part of the organization is having in terms of issues, because they can go in and look at all of the outstanding issues. Right? And so that's another thing that they appreciate, is just that they know exactly what the issues are, and generally, they know where the status of it is at all times, and they know generally how long it takes to solve the various problems. Mm-hmm. So, in conclusion, basically, what TuckRail wanted was a project server instance which was fully integrated with their on-premise systems. They wanted fast turnaround time. The original test development and production environment were ready in a matter of weeks versus months. They wanted, when they made the decision that they were going to go into production, because they started out as a true proof of concept, we're not sure whether this is the answer, we want to see it's the answer. When they decided that it was the answer, they didn't want to wait a long time to go from proof of concept, where they had a very few number of users, to a production environment where they had over 200 users. And it was easy to migrate to production. The effort on their part to get into production was basically to tell us to do it. Right? And they also wanted to have installation support and maintenance, and they wanted to be scalable. Right? They want to be able to scale this up, because their business is to find more business. And as they find more business, they're going to have more users. So they want to be able to scale this up. And they wanted a lower total cost of ownership and predictable costs. Yes. Well, there's two integrations. There's Active Directory integration that comes from their system to Project Server, and it also the SQL data going back.
Yeah. You're not talking about applications that are sitting on premise and actively drawing data from the cloud system.
Yeah, this scenario is totally possible with what we have there. There's nothing that prevents that.
No. They have an on-premise SQL-based reporting system. That system uses more data than simply Project Server data. Okay?
I'm trying to understand the point about integration.
Yeah, well, in terms of integration, like James mentioned, there is Active Directory integration that was there. And their reporting system, what they do is they suck the data from a Project Server SQL database and
use it in
right, yeah. Right, that's correct.
Yeah.
And but I think what you're referring to is maybe you have an application on premise that do something with project, right? So we have all the pipes in this solution to do this. So just a matter of them to implement it, but everything is ready for that.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Right. Really good question. In this scenario, we have a 2 gigabit pipes coming out of the server. Can you guys hear me okay? It's a 2 gigabit per second pipe there. And the network infrastructure is quite astonishing. So there's a lot of redundant network interconnection, very fast connection, you know, many 10 gigabit pipes running between our data center and ours. That is all there. So so that's latency is very small.
You know. Is that typical of your other clients?
Yeah. Yeah, it's essentially the same network infrastructure that is leveraged on a global scale.
Now, to be in the interest of honesty, just to be sure, not every client requires that they that we send back their SQL data for an on-premise system, right? But the capability exists. The capability exists. This gets back to this gentleman's question, that when you get to this scale of Project Server, it's not a cookie cutter, right? You have to understand what the client wants, and then you have to be prepared to give them what they want, because that's what they're paying for, right? And in this case, the data going back to their system was a primary decision maker on their part. They could not have gone with an application, as I understand it, they could not have gone with an implementation of Project Server that did not send the data back, because they were, I don't know whether it was management or not, but what they were not able, they could not have their project information in this in-house reporting system, right? In other words, they couldn't have a totally separate reporting system for just the projects. The project data had to be an integral part of this in-house reporting system. Was that fair to say, Aljo?
Yeah, it's fair to say, yeah. Any other question? Right.
So how do you work that out between?
Yeah, it's an excellent question. There's actually a triage process. So first of all, you look at, does the issue appear to be something that is under the SLA or not, right? So is that a request for adding something or changing something? So those get sorted out differently. And then when you look at, well, there's a problem, something broke, right? Then you have to identify the source of what can be the cause of this. Hopefully, a lot of these issues are prevented because of monitoring systems that are in place, so we're able to detect sometime, you know, performance start to degrade or things like that. So we're able to catch those things ahead of time. But yes, it happens that, okay, something just break and then we need to figure out. So, of course, our tech support will engage with the people who brought out that issue and try to identify a root cause it very quick.
Yeah. I know where this gentleman is going. Let's hypothesize. Let's hypothesize that somebody somebody made a configuration error, and that's what's causing the problem. If we identify that as the problem, we will tell them that that's the problem, but they're going to have to fix it. We do not go in as the project server administrator and bit fiddle with the application, to be perfectly blunt, right? But in a lot of cases, it's our technical people who will determine that that's what's causing the problem. But the actual fixing of the problem has to be with the people who are administering the system.
We want to answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
In terms of the development of the SQL, the backend, the SQL server on the database, the development of SQL and the necessary is all done by the application.
Well, there's two parts. Yeah, actually, there's two instances of SQL Server, at least in there. They're the one we have on our sites, you know, with each environment. I mean, there's one for each. There's one on-premise. So the one that we that is in a project server environment, that's the one we put together and maintain it, everything. Theirs is theirs. And in between, they talk to each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 So you did not contribute to that development of those.
Well, yeah, then there's one part of it. What was used to exchange the data was a SQL Server replication service. So we had to enable that service between the two. And, you know, schedule jobs and things like that, you know. So that was our part of the bargain there, yeah.
So with the strengthening of Project Online and Microsoft's cloud, is BMOC its future more in this private cloud space than in the public cloud space?
Yeah, there is definitely room in that space, you know, in that private cloud dedicated where you need a lot of integration and customization. We also sell Microsoft Project Online, so that's a product we know very well, and it fits a certain part of the demography.
You have your own public cloud as well.
That's correct, yes.
So how do you differentiate between Project Online and your own public cloud?
Yeah, thank you for asking. I love those questions. I think you were on the keynote today, right? Yeah. Well, actually, we've been offering a multi-tenant application since 2010, so it's our fourth year. So that's a differentiator right there. A lot of people still run out 2010, and that's what they want. So we can still offer that, and we do full business intelligence. That's another thing that we do. And we can mix and match Project Server user, SharePoint user within the same hosting. So those are the things that probably differentiate us from what we see with Project Online. And like I said, we sell both, and we can advise our customer on either one. Anything else? Yes, John. That's true. Thank you. We with BMO, you own your data. You can also migrate very easily. That's what was one of the scenarios we see here. We move from the dev to the test instance in production, so we can suck all those SQL databases and then put them somewhere else very quickly. So, thank you, John. Yeah. Anything else? All right. James, thank you very much. It was a very interactive session. Thank you, everyone. One thing I want to remind you, stop at our booth. We have some USB drive and little goodies, so come visit us, and we'll talk more.
And incidentally, as I think I mentioned, the TuckRail case study and a copy of this presentation is on the memory stick. So, I mean, Microsoft will eventually publish all of this, but if you come by, you can get it today or tomorrow or Wednesday.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, folks.